How many, anybody have any idea how many times the Bible uses the word Christian in the Bible, in the New Testament? Anybody? A lot, a little? No? One time. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So, let's just go ahead and we're just going to go through this. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to ask different people to read the scriptures. Well, let's pray. Let's ask the blessing of the Lord. And this lesson's titled, Discovering the Call to Discipleship. Amen. Jesus, help us tonight, Lord. Help us with your word, God. We pray for your touch. We pray for your strength and your mind, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the second time I've taught this today. And I will be teaching it again. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 28:19, go, and the King James says, go and teach all nations. The NIV says, go and make disciples of all nations, which is basically the same thing. In our call to reach people, it's the will of God that we make disciples, that we teach, that we do things just like I'm doing here tonight. Amen? It's the will of God. Praise God. And the Bible says in the last days that there was going to be a famine of the word of God, the hearing of the word of God. Now, that's not on. It's partly because people are not always preaching the truth, but it's also because people are not willing to extend themselves to be in the house of the Lord. The present state and condition of Christianity in general is in decline. And according to statistics, it will continue to decline. And I feel that the big reason, you got one, Al? Is that one, say, the call to discipleship? Rod, you know how to get on Microsoft Word? Mm-hmm. You got a second one? Okay, give that one to Al, if you guys can share. Amen. But the reason that I feel, and I think that as we go through this, that you'll feel the same way, is because of the lack of discipleship in churches today, and the lack of people willing to be disciples. Now, we've had a change in this church in the last year that is amazing me. When we first started our church, and Brother Rick can attest to that because he's been with us since the first service, people would want to come to church, but nobody wanted to be taught. I mean, they'd listen to the preaching. Sometimes they'd come to Bible study. As you can look around, we've got a decent crowd for Bible study tonight for our church. Let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. But still, it's only about maybe 25% of the church, 20 or 25% of the church is out tonight. Sometimes it's because of work, and sometimes things can't be controlled. Other times it's because people are not willing to be disciples, basically. So discipleship, they say that 133,000 denominations in the world today. And that's pretty wild. And if you think about it, these churches, along with churches which claim no affiliation with any group, can make the word of God of no effect by their traditions, just as the scribes and the Pharisees did, as stated in Matthew 15. Now, somebody read for me, and all the scriptures are here. That's why I don't have my Bible. You'll find them in your Bible. I've just made it easier for us. Somebody read Matthew 15, the first 9 verses here in the red from the ESV. Who's my volunteer? Jonathan, go ahead. All right. So if you notice here, what they were talking about is the Bible says to honor your mother and father. And they said, some of the other versions, King James, it says it a little bit different. But if they said a certain saying, they didn't have to honor their mother and father anymore. They could avoid the word of God. Well, we find very similar things in many places today. They said, well, this doesn't matter. You know, that was for the apostles. That's discontinued today, and so on and so forth. You have to go by the word of God. Amen. And the reason some folks don't know what they're missing is because they have not come to the place where they have allowed themselves to be taught. What you're doing tonight is you're allowing yourselves to be taught. Amen? And that's a good thing. Let's read the next, and I brought the next one out from the Amplified. I'll read that. It says, for the sake of your tradition, the rules handed down by your forefathers, you have set aside the word of God. And I like the way the Amplified put it here. I don't always use, some of the newer versions don't always present things properly, but sometimes they give you some good things to think about. Depriving it of force, depriving the word of God of force and authority, and make it of no effect. Amen. So, teachings that water down or explain away scriptural teaching fulfill that little footnote of the Amplified version where it says depriving the word of God of force and authority and make it of no effect. Now, there is a call for us to be a disciple. And Jesus really, if you think about it, Jesus is really offensive in the way he did that. Some people, they look and they say, well, Jesus upsets me. Al, you want to read this next scripture there? Right. So read the scripture. Okay, hold on right there, and then we're going to get right back. I'll let you read the rest of it. The scripture here says, if you don't hate your own mother and father. Now, it's not really talking about, you know, I hate you, Mom, or I hate you, Dad. It's talking about, and the Amplified actually brings it up very, very well there, in the sense of indifference or relative disregard for them in comparison with our attitude towards God. What that means, there's an old song that we sing, I don't know if you've ever heard it, says, take this whole world and give me Jesus. Though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. So that has to be our attitude. It's not that we hate them with a physical hate, but we're not going to let people, whether it's our mother, it's our father, it's our son, it's our daughter, it's our wife, it's our husband, we're not going to let them influence our walk with God. Amen? That's what he's saying here. So go ahead and read on, Al. Right. Notice what he says here. He says, if you do not, first of all, what he was talking about there is if you got an army of 10,000 and you got somebody coming against you with 20,000, you better make sure that you can beat them. Otherwise, they're going to come and whoop you. You know, which one of you does not count that, right? How many of you buy a car or a house and don't think that you want to make, at least be able to think that you'll be able to take care of things? Amen. So he talks and he says, so any of you who does not forsake, renounce, surrender, claim to, give up, say goodbye to all that he has, cannot be my disciple. Now notice he doesn't say here, cannot be a Christian. You're going to find as we go on that Jesus never called us to be a Christian. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Now, the Greek word for disciple here, when he said, you could not be my disciple, and I put the little Greek definitions down there. You'll see some words in Greek and Hebrew, and that's just some screenshots of my Bible study program, just so you know, realize what I'm telling you is the truth. It's methodes, which is a learner or a pupil. And let me say this right from the beginning. It's the will of God for each one of us to be a disciple and also for us to grow to the place where we can teach somebody else. Amen? Amen. It's the will of God. Now, not all will fulfill that in the same role and different ways, but it is the will of God for you to grow to the place where you can teach somebody else about the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, the Scripture teaches in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 that in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. He said, let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first. The footnote there is, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness, which is the Antichrist, the man of sin, is revealed, and the son of doom, the son of perdition. Now, we see that great falling away today. This is why, for example, in England, anybody know anything? If Tony was here tonight, he's out on business. But if Tony was here tonight, he could tell us about England. He's from London. And the churches are all closing there because people are forsaking. They're falling away from God. Amen. And they're turning into Hindu temples, into bars. And we see that even in places around here where churches have closed and they're becoming restaurants, they're becoming bars, they're becoming houses. because people are falling away from the Lord. And while people are falling away, and you can see that sometimes people are going to come to the Lord, because you're here tonight because you've decided, I don't want to fall away from God. Amen. I want to get close to the Lord. So you can find in the scripture where there's going to be a great falling away, and also where there will be revival also. But that's a whole nother topic. Now, Matthew 7:13-14. Rod, you want to read that here? Use this thing so we can hear it on the tape, please.
Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
All right, so the Bible teaches us, and the King James puts it a little bit differently, so straight is the gate, narrow is the way. But both of them tell us, doesn't matter which version that you're reading, whether it's NIV, Amplified, ESV, it tells us that there's two ways that you can go. One is going to be a wide gate. It's going to seem like everybody is going that way. And that's the way that's going to lead to what? Destruction. And you might say, well, there's just not a whole lot of people in this church. Well, that's more scriptural than you realize. Now, the church is not going to stay small forever. The Lord is blessing and is blessing right now this church. Amen. There are people, and like I said earlier, and I didn't finish my thought earlier. My thought earlier was that for the first 10 years of this church, it seems like, or 9 years, it seemed like that people would, they would come to church, and some people get baptized, they get the Holy Ghost, but we would never have people that were hungry enough for God that would want to be taught. Amen. But we have people here tonight that I'm doing these courses. I'm doing 5 of these a week now. And the reason is because there's a hunger. Something has broken. There's a hunger for God there. And if you're hungry for something like this, we can do it with you also. Amen. This is my life. My life is the ministry. My life is not, the Lord enabled us to quit my job 7 years ago. I'm not going to say it's easy. There's times it's very difficult, but God is the provider. Amen. He makes a way. And this is what we've dedicated our life to, is doing the work of God. So if you want to be taught, if you're hungry for the things of God, talk to me and we can work something out. Amen. You may not. This is actually the third lesson I'm developing. I've gotten some materials from a friend of mine that is on starting his 7th church in Detroit, Michigan. And these are some of the materials that he uses. Now, this is not, I wrote about 80% of this. Now, I used some of his, towards the end, some of his from his materials. But these are things that I've worked on and God has talked to me about and I've studied out in the scripture. Amen. This whole first series that I'm doing, this is the second lesson of the first series, is all going to be written by me. It's going to be basic doctrines. Amen. So if you're not settled in the basic doctrines, get together. Or we can do it at church, or we can come see you, come to my house, whatever the case is. Now, the wide gate Christianity, I want you to think about this, allows a believer to continue to live a life with no change from the world, never challenging them to have a closer walk with God, and disciples them to be at least lukewarm Christians. And they fall into a trap of being lukewarm. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:15-16, I know your works. I know that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So it's the will of God for us to be on fire for God. Amen. It's not the will of God for you to be cold and backslid. It's not the will of God, specifically not the will of God, for you to be lukewarm. Amen. And then, of course, sometimes, you know, there's a change that also comes as you grow and you begin to see. Sometimes you've got to adjust your thinking. Brother Al and I have been talking, and both of us were raised Catholic. And they did more work on him than they did me, because when they told me about the Holy Ghost, I said, hey, no, man, I want the Holy Ghost. And I got the Holy Ghost. I guess they did a good job with me, but they did a better job with him. And he's got to learn stuff like this. Amen. Right, Brother Al? Amen. We've had many, many discussions about this. I always say I went to Our Lady of Perpetual Agony. It's kind of a joke, but I have that background, and for me this was like a totally new life, and it's a great life. It's a great life living for God. Now, what is a disciple? Can anybody, without looking at my notes, tell me in your words, what is a disciple? Nope. Kinda, but not really. Nope. It's real simple. It's somebody that wants to learn. Somebody that is a pupil. Now here, I think in my little thing here, it talks about being a follower of Jesus. But we're going to look, and that's the English definition, but we're going to look into what the Scripture says. The Scripture, the Greek really talks about being somebody that will be a pupil, being somebody that will learn. Amen? How many people don't want to learn? And we still find that. I remember specifically one man which embodied many of the people I talked to over the years. And I told him, I said, I can't remember his name, he's one of my neighbors. And I said, let me teach you a Bible study. You know what he told me? He says, I don't want to know what the Bible says. Well, you got a problem there, because if you read Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15, it says the dead, small and great, one day are going to stand before God. And the books are going to be opened. And the dead were going to be judged out of the things written in those books. Well, what books is going to be opened? The 66 books of the Bible. The book of life, to see if your name is written. And the books of the Bible. So you better know what the Bible says. Amen? Because just because you don't know what the Word of God says does not mean that God will not hold you accountable for that. That's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to have an attitude. I want to be a disciple, Lord. I want to learn from you. Now, let's look at this descriptive name disciple. It's used one time the word Christian is used in the Bible. Acts 11:26. They were called Christians first at Antioch. The word disciple, before Christian was ever used, that was the name. And it was used after that. If you take out your computer Bible and look up words and all that neat sort of stuff, you'll find that 256 times before Acts 11:26, disciples, 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 disciples. And even after, and what the word Christian was, that was the word that the heathens used, not the believers. It was the heathens. It was the people outside of the church. They were using that word to describe the disciples that had become so much like the Lord. And that happened about Acts 11:26. I believe Acts chapter 10 was about 13 years after the day of Pentecost. So the church had developed. The disciples had continued to develop after Jesus had died. Took about 13, 15 years. And all of a sudden they start saying, these are Christians. But the first part, they were disciples. And even after that, you'll find them recorded in the Word of God after that, disciples. Now, skip forward to today. We have many Christians, do we not? People say we're Christians. But we have few disciples. How many Christians do you know that want to be a disciple? They want to be taught. They want to know something. They're willing to do, as the Apostle Paul said later on, the Apostle Paul says he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Not that he was sitting at his feet, but he was allowing himself to be taught, just like we're doing tonight. There's not a lot of people that want to be taught. Amen. So we skip forward today, and we have many Christians, few disciples, and the heathens, those without, often cry hypocrite when they describe Christians. Why is that? Because the lack of discipleship is rearing its ugly head. If people knew that they weren't supposed to act some of the ways they act, then don't you think that they would at least change? So the lack of discipleship is really, really affecting the Christian world today. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn, manthano, which is the Greek word of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest for your souls. Now, if you look at the two Greek words, the first one we used up in Luke 14:26, which is at the top of the page, is methedes, and you look at that, it says it comes from New Testament 31:29. Well, that word 31:29 here is manthano. And that's what he's saying is disciple is coming from. The word comes from disciple, which means to learn, to understand, to be a pupil. Amen? Back in Luke 14, 26 through 33, we learned that Nathanael was a disciple. So Jesus was issuing a call to be a disciple when he said, learn of me. In Matthew 11, 29. Now let me ask you a question. Jesus never invited one person in all his ministry. He never invited one person to be what? He never invited one person to be a Christian. Not one. He invited them to be what? Dazel? Disciples. Exactly. Now, according to Matthew 11, 29, what will you find when you become a disciple? Rest for your souls. Look at Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you, learn Mentheo from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. And of course, if you do your studies now, you're going to find rest is talking about the Holy Ghost. If you want the Holy Ghost, learn of Him. Because the Holy Ghost is rest. Matthew 28, 9 through 11. This is the rest wherewith the weary would rest. This is the Sabbath. It's also interpreted where the weary would Sabbath. The Holy Ghost is our Sabbath. You may not understand this now. But that's why you can spend all day Sunday in the presence of the Lord. You can come to the house of God all wore out, discouraged, distressed. You can hear the preaching of the word, worship God, and walk out and you feel like you're on a mountaintop. Right, Brother Rod? Come on. So now let's read this in full context. Come to me, all ye labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you to learn and learn and manthano from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus issuing the call to discipleship to? Because if you read Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it's a call to discipleship. That call that says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, is that call. It's the same word that comes out to be disciple. Who does the Lord want to be disciples? Everybody. So, you know, take your finger, point at yourself, and say, it's the will of God for me to be a disciple. And as I said earlier, it's the will of God for you to be a disciple. And one day for you to grow enough where you can learn enough, where you can help somebody else with their walk with the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, the rich young ruler. What does the call of discipleship mean? And as I said, Jesus could be pretty offensive in the way he describe stuff. So a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, what do you call me good for? Nobody's good except for God alone. Here he's pointing out the oneness of God. Know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your mother and father. And he said, all these things have I kept from his youth. And I could kind of see him doing one of these things. Yeah, I did that. I've been a pretty good boy. And what did Jesus say? See, Jesus knows the heart. Jesus said this. He said, one thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, and for he was extremely rich. Amen. Jesus knew. Now, not everybody Jesus doesn't require everybody to sell everything that they have. But he's talking about loving the kingdom of God more than you love your riches. You can have money and live for God. But many times people that have money have trouble living for God because they love their possessions, they love their money more than they love God. But there are people that have money and love God. So it doesn't have to be that way. I had somebody not long ago, they were giving me a hard time because we teach on tithing, we teach on giving. And one thing I wish I had told that man is, okay, you don't want to pay your tithes. And you say, that's the Old Testament. Why don't you do it the New Testament way? And they said, they gave everything that they had, Brother Rod. They took everything they had and put it at the apostles' feet. I thought that was interesting. A pastor friend of mine told me that. I wish I had been smart enough to think of that. So money and these things, that can really separate you from the Lord. Not all disciples left their homes. We find various people that were called by the Lord who did follow him. Not all of them left their homes. Among these biblical examples are Mary and Martha, who became disciples and served God from their own home. Zacchaeus accepts the call to follow Jesus. He was a crooked tax collector. He made things right. But no hint is ever given, Brother Rick, historically or scripturally, that he ever left his home or he ever quit being a tax collector. How many of you like tax collectors? You ever met any? I don't like them. I had a problem with the IRS in 1986, got an audit, and I don't like tax collectors. But you can be saved and be a tax collector. Not all are called to the same function in the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is another description of the church. Now, if everybody was the head, everybody's the pastor, we're all sitting here teaching, nobody to be taught. Right? Or as getting ready to have our Thanksgiving dinner, Brother Benny and Sister Donna are taking care of arranging that. You know, my wife and I can only do so many things in the church. The pastor has to have people that are willing to serve the Lord in the local church and to be a part. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's look at these scriptures concerning the body of Christ. Apostle Paul wrote, "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not make it any less of the part of the body." And don't you feel like that sometimes? Well, I just don't feel part of the church. Well, maybe you're a foot. I don't know. Maybe somebody's an underarm. I don't know. I laugh about those things. Maybe you're a hand. Maybe you're a voice. But just because you don't feel part of it does not mean that you aren't part of it. That's a lot of psychological stuff there. But we are all part of the body of Christ. We serve the Lord in various aspects in the body of Christ. If everybody ran off and had their own ministry, how could the local church exist? Right? Think about it. So we work all together. We try to organize ourselves. We try to work together for the good of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now he says, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. It wouldn't make me any less of the part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. Now, in the Amplified, in Romans 12:4-8, Paul again writes, "For as in one physical body we have many parts, we have many organs, we have many members, you know, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use. So we, numerous as we are," and you say, what does that have to do with discipleship? We're going to get there. "Numerous as that we are in one body in Christ, the Messiah, and individually we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on one another, having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical," I like this thing, "practical service." Practical service. Amen. You say, well, you know, I don't know what I... Do you have the gift of practical service, of just being able to help and just being able to do things in the church? You know? Yeah, everybody can have a place. And part of my job is trying to help you find your place. "Let him give himself to serving, he who teaches." Look at that. "Let him give himself to serving." What Brother Benny and Sister Donna do when they arrange these dinners and the folks that help, they're serving. Amen? That's one way. I mean, there's various different ways to serve. But that's an example. That's doing something for God, working together. "He who teaches to his teaching." It really expanded our children's ministry, and God is starting to send us more children. Amen? But there has to be adults that want to help teach the children. Right? Otherwise, all you have is lunacy. You get a whole bunch of kids together, what happens? They all run around having a good time, and you're sitting there pulling your hair out. And God bless my wife. She's back there. We just have our kids here tonight, our grandkids here tonight, but she's back in the back ministering to the kids, helping them. Sometimes with the little ones, it just seems like you're playing with them, but she puts up things and teaches them about the Word of God and stuff. And they need that. That's a ministry. That's doing something for the Lord. Sometimes we look at the kids and we say, you know, I'm not really doing anything. No, you are, because those kids are going to grow up one day. He who exhorts, who encourages. Don't you love somebody that has a word of encouragement for you? You know? You don't talk about Sister Miriam? Somebody that just seems they know how to say the right words when it comes to God. That's a gift. Amen. To his exhortation, he who contributes. Now, he who contributes, let him do it in simplicity. So, oh, good, I don't have to contribute. That's not what he's saying here. Just like the Bible talks about, there's faith and the gift of faith, there's supporting the work of the Lord, and there's contributing above and beyond also. So there's a gift, there's a gifting that can be there. Let him do it with simplicity. Don't draw attention to yourself. And liberally give to the kingdom of God. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind, he who does acts of mercy. Mercy is a gift from God. And you learn how to do those things as you learn of the Lord with general cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Paul doesn't list every gift and every position in the body here, but he gives some insight about the diversity of the body. He is those speaking of those who are specifically gifted above and beyond the normal, just as the gifts of the Spirit are above and beyond the normal. And the gifts of the Spirit's for another Bible study. Not everybody's called to leave the home and lands and follow the call of the gospel. Without disciples that are home folks, no local church can exist. Amen. You are valuable to your home church. Amen. We need to realize that. Without the people of God, the church does not run. Well, you guys make me look good. You know, sometimes it really, they say, well, the pastor gets all the glory. I try not to do that, because the people of God really need to be recognized and thanked for that. Thank you for being part of the church, for doing, helping in the work of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, being a disciple is fully compatible with marriage, child education, family life in general. We are just called to put Jesus first in our life. So don't think now Aunt Mary calls you up and says, Sunday, I'm going to have you over for dinner where you can miss church all the time. Don't do that. Tell her to make it on Sunday night or Sunday morning or Saturday night. Put God first. Amen? Put God first. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 through 12 tells us, notice what he says here, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers through Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do this and more. Aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may live properly before outsiders, to be dependent on no one. So you can see from the scripture, the apostle Paul is not telling everybody, okay, go get your own ministry and let's go over here and let's just go all over the place. Now, God will call people for ministries. He will do that. We've got a young man in this church that's out evangelizing all the time. We've got a couple other young men that are wanting to do the work of the Lord. Amen. So God does call people and he gifts them, and there's a time of development and so on and so forth. So Matthew 6:31 through 33, notice what he says here. Don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first. Everybody say first. First. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his righteousness. Don't just look for God. Look for God and his righteousness. You notice that, right? Right, Sister Daisy? God and righteousness. Not just God. But because, you know, sometimes when you seek the Lord's going to tell you, you know, I got some things that really need to change a little bit. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Seek God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So, now, I think we're getting along. What time is it? Anybody tell me what time it is? Lift my... 8:46? Well, I'm going to have to zoom a little bit. That's why I started reading instead of having everybody else read. Now, just because Jesus calls you to be a disciple does not mean that you're automatically a disciple. To be a disciple, you have to start by developing habits, good habits. Amen? Being a disciple takes a focused effort. Right? How many of you have been to college? Okay. Did you, just because you went to college, did that make you a college graduate? No. You had to apply yourself to your courses. It's no different with the things of God. You have to apply yourself. And I feel like the Lord is bringing us to a different dimension in our church now. We're going to have a whole bunch of disciples, and we're going to go out, and that's what's going to bring a great move of God to this place. Amen. But you have to apply yourself. Praise God. Look what he says here. You've put off your old self with its habits. Put off what? Your old self with its habits. Sometimes it's going to take a change in habits. Amen. Lie not to one another, having put off the old man with his practices. Be renewed in regard to knowledge after the image of him who did create him. Put off what again? The old man with his practices. One of the greatest things that, you know, and I think this is why I got so far with God in such a short time, is because I was tired of the way I was. I wanted to be different. He will help you to be different if you apply yourself. Amen. Apply yourself in prayer. Apply yourself in study. I'm going to talk about those things. Let me not get ahead of myself. A disciple puts off his old ways, puts off old behaviors, put off old habits, practices. You know, if you were slothful and lazy, don't be slothful and lazy. Work yourself out of that. Amen. If you like to sleep instead of pray, make sure you find a time to pray. If you like to watch TV instead of working on the things of God, you know, give God his due time. Doesn't mean you can't ever relax. But put the Lord first. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I'm a morning person, so it's not a big deal for me. I get up and I can do my thing in the morning. But I can get distracted, too. Anybody ever get distracted? Sure. You can get this. I get distracted sometimes. So I have to focus myself that I'm going to do certain things. And usually when I get distracted, it's because I'm overtired. So I have to try to get myself some rest there. Now, disciple is going to engage himself in practices that lead them to becoming more and more Christ-like. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Who can explain to me the difference between a weight and a sin? Anybody? Rod? Right. So, a weight, a sin, the Bible says, do not commit adultery. Well, none of us should be committing adultery. Fornication, none of us. Drunkenness, none of us. Amen? None of us. A weight is something that, you know, maybe back when I was in the church, I used to like to build cars. Well, that you can have weights, you know, and finally I kind of gave up some stuff and moved on in life a little bit. But there are things that are not necessarily wrong, but if they take you away from God, they're a weight. So you can think about that and apply it to your life. You know what your weights are and you know what your weights are not. So we're supposed to lay aside weights and sins. Now, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, but the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, think about this scripture for a minute. Now, you're a disciple. You're wanting to learn. Can you see here in this scripture the four ways that people worship God? Anybody? Can anybody tell me what those four? I got the first one listed, spirit and truth. What's the next one? Daisy, you should know this. You heard me say this 1,000 times. No truth but spirit, spirit but no truth. And sometimes people even worship God with no spirit and no truth. That's when you walk in a church and you see them doing all kinds of unscriptural things and you're like, what in the world's going on here? They're saying, we're worshiping God. But you know better because you've been a disciple and you know what the scripture says. Don't you think if God is talking to you and showing you things out of the scripture, you need to listen to the Lord? How many of those ways, those four ways, spirit and truth, spirit no truth, truth no spirit, neither spirit nor truth, how many of them are acceptable to God? one. There's only one way. So if you're involved with something is doesn't have the truth, it's not acceptable to God. This is what discipleship and learning does. It begins to show us some things. So, seven practices that a disciple will work to develop. Number one, Bible study. If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Abide in me and I abide. Now, the abiding part is also the word. It's also prayer. It's also being in the house of God. So it kind of transcends things. But it's also involved in that, being abiding in Jesus, studying his word, personal devotions. Amen. What does the scripture say? The one that looks steadily at God's perfect law and makes that law his habit, actively putting it into practice. Have your personal devotion times. Get away from your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your dog, your cat. Find a place to pray. Amen. You know what works for you. Some people can only pray in their car. They got no privacy other places. Some people go to their bedroom. Some people go to their closet. Some people go to the woods and they got a favorite tree stump they pray at. They go to the garage. They go to the barn. We don't have many barns around here. But there's a lot of different places that you can go to have your own personal devotion. You say, well, everybody's always, you know, up and around. Do like I do. I get up early. I get up before anybody, and I've been doing it for years when the kids were home too. That was the quiet time for me. 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's there. Nobody's there bothering me. And I can serve the Lord and pray, and I can talk to the Lord. You don't have to shout to pray. Right? Sometimes when you pray, listen to God too. He'll talk to you. Number three, prayer. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you shall ask anything you wish and you shall have it. When you pray, just like I was talking about, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Fasting. We're going to be doing a 21-day church fast. I will pass out some things, different ways that you can participate. You don't have to. You can do one meal a day. You can fast like Ramadan, sunrise to sunset. The Jews do that. When I was working my job, I would have one meal a day because I had to work my job. You have to do what's workable for you. But God will honor when we fast and we pray. Amen. He'll honor your life. If you will fast and seek the Lord, he will honor it. 2 years ago, I believe it was, we had such a great time in the fasting and prayer. People walking in the church getting the Holy Ghost. Remember? Powerful services. That comes when you pray. That's why we're having prayer this Saturday, 8 to midnight. Amen. We're going to be having discipleship Bible study at 6:30. I believe Cy and Alicia are going to be there with me. So if anybody else wants to come, you're welcome to sit in with us. But prayer is what's going to change things. Amen. If you don't pray, nothing ever going to change. You got to push. You know what it means to push? Anybody? Pray until something happens. Push, push, push. Never stop. Praise. Praise is a part, real part. You ever just feel like walking around, God, I praise you. I thank you. Sometimes I walk around my morning time. I'll just begin to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. Or sometimes I come down here. Sometimes I'll pray down here. Sometimes I'll pray at home. Depends on how tired I am and so on and so forth. But praise the Lord. Amen. Give him praise. Give up the praise for the Lord. Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Giving. A disciple will develop giving in their walk with the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 7. Let each of one of you give as he has made up his own mind, purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully under compulsion, for God loves. God takes pleasure in. God prizes above other things and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful giver. Amen. I've said it like this before. If you can't give cheerfully, keep it. You're not going to get blessed. But that word cheerful also in the Greek means hilarious. You know why it's hilarious? Because sometimes the Lord asks you to give And God, I don't have money to pay my own bills. How am I supposed to support you through? You look at the Word of God. Talks about Elijah in the Old Testament. Elijah, he said, I got a widow woman prepared. You know, Elijah just went through this big thing. Brother Roger, you familiar with the scripture? He had been up to the mountain with the prophets of Baal. God delivered him. And then Jezebel says he's going to kill him. So the man, great man of faith runs 13 miles. He's under a tree by the brook of Cherith. He tells God, just kill me. And God says, I got a widow woman prepared for you. So he says, oh, this is great. God's going to take care of me. And so he goes to this widow woman, and the widow woman says, what are you doing here? We're just going to eat our last meal and die. Now, here was the prophet all discouraged, and God sends him to this woman that she said she's going to die. So he tells her, he says, make me the meal first. Now, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, God's going to send you to this widow woman. You know, her husband's dead. She's got nobody to take care of her. Didn't have welfare back then. But he tells him, make me something first. And the Bible says she did that. And the oil and the cruse did not fail during that entire time of famine. That she just kept reaching in and pulling out. It was there. There's something that happens when you put the kingdom of God first. Amen. Something that happens when you pay your tithes, when you give. Sometimes you look at it, you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it, and God makes miracles. We got people who will testify that tonight. I I still do it, believe me. You'd be amazed. But I remember, long before I was pastoring, paid my bills, paid my mortgage, paid my tithes, put $30 in gas in my car, $40 for food, and have no money for 2 weeks. God always took care of us. Amen. Always took care of us, prospered us. And I could tell many stories, but that would get off of the track here. Fellowship. It's important to fellowship. The Bible says that, we're at least two or three gathered. I will be in the midst of them. And you know this. You know when there's more people there, it feels stronger and more powerful. You're not going to get blessed staying home by yourself. Not going to happen. You got to be in fellowship with God's people. That's what part of church is about. Definition of a practice. A practice is a habitual action. If you want to change your life, you've got to get some practices into place. Amen. It's continual, often unconscious inclination to do certain activity acquired through frequent repetition. If to benefit from a practice, what do you have to do? You've got to embrace it voluntarily. Amen. Now, we've got some exercise machines at the house, but I've got some back problems. So when I can do it, I do it. But, you know, if I didn't have the problems that I had, maybe I could do a little more. But I have to get out there and do it. Amen. If you want to be fit, you got to eat right. Amen. You got to exercise right. So you have to embrace these things. It's no different when the kingdom of God. You have to voluntarily say, God, I'm going to make a change in my life. I'm going to change some things. Amen. Now, let's read a couple of scriptures, and we're done. I assure you most solemnly, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Sometimes you may feel like, well, you know, there's just not enough people serving God with us. Well, become that corn of wheat. Become that corn of wheat. Unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. If you will die to the flesh and serve God with all that you have, I promise you there will be a harvest. The harvest does not come from the pastor. The harvest comes from the seed. Amen. If you have little seed, you have little harvest. If you expect the pastor to bring the harvest, it's going to be a little harvest because there's just one that can put the seed out. But when all of you start putting the seed out, dying to the flesh, and doing what the Scripture says, there will be great revival, great move of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anyone who loves his life loses it, but anybody that hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anybody serves me, he must continue to follow me, and wherever I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Amen. Let's just skip down to the last Scripture, as I quoted earlier, Acts 22 and 3, for I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, and brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul was a disciple. Now, they say that in Gamaliel's estate, they had Nicodemus and Stephen the Martyr are buried there, because they still have the estate of Gamaliel. And they speculate because of that, that Paul converted Gamaliel to be a Christian, to be a disciple himself. Amen. So the student became the teacher, and the teacher became the disciple. It can happen. It can happen. Let me just maybe go very quickly. It says in James 3 and 1, not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors, and reprovers of others. I think he's talking there about people that kind of impose on people. We teachers are going to be judged by a higher standard with greater severity than other people. Preachers, young men, you better watch out, amen, because you're judged by a higher standard. You say, well, I want to do this and do that. You better make sure things are right. Amen? Make sure they're right in your life. So let me encourage you today, all the way at the end, to first, like Paul, be a disciple. Forget about being a Christian. Amen? Be a disciple. And Sister E, can you come on out, please? Be a disciple, because you will develop into a Christian. It will be down the road, they will say, just like the heathen said in the scripture in Acts 11:26, they called them Christians first at Antioch. Why did the heathen call them Christians? Because they were like the Lord. You're not going to be like the Lord unless you're first a disciple. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Maybe let's gather around the front here, and I'll play the piano. I guess my wife's not out here, so I'll play the piano. Sister Emily, would you go tell my wife to come out here, please? Amen. And we're just going to pray together a little bit. And we've heard a good Bible study. I know this is a good Bible study because the Lord gave it to me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just come on and gather around. Everybody just kind of gather a little bit. And let's talk to the Lord. My wife's going to come play a song for us. Amen. Amen. Come on, run. Get moving a little bit. Yeah, I want to see you run. Oh, let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never. No, never. Make heaven. I wonder whose phone was getting texted. It was mine. I forgot to shut it off. Let me walk with you, Jesus. Why don't you find somebody to pray with? Just reach over and pray with somebody. Men, pray with men, ladies, husbands, and wives. Just pray with each other. Amen. Without you, I could never. Just use this time. Let the Lord talk to you. Never make heaven my home. Won't you let me walk with you, Jesus? Do you want to be a disciple today? Has the Word of God stirred you and said, you know what, I need to change the way I'm doing things. I need to begin, quit being stubborn. I need to let the Holy Ghost work on me. Without you, I could never. No, never make it. With Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low.
one time has he failed me. When to him in trouble I go, so let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me in the name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. For without you I could never.
Strength and your touch. Prayer Saturday, no morning prayer Saturday. Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Amen. Take a day, fast. Fast Saturday. Pray Saturday. Come expecting something Sunday. Amen. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Greet our brother here with us tonight. Amen. Just move back down from Massachusetts. Make him feel welcome in the house of the Lord. Amen.